Monster Man, episode 276, Monster Manual 2 Wrap-Up. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are bidding a final farewell to Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. At the end of Season 1, at the beginning of Season 2, I described The Fiend Folio as the difficult second album. If I'm going to continue that metaphor, Monster Manual 2 feels a little bit like an attempt to recapture former glory, a last crusade, if you will. Certainly closer in its contents to Monster Manual 1, presumably because it is a fully in-house TSR product, but 6 years on, it's a very different beast. In my personal opinion, I would say that of the three books we've covered so far, Monster Manual 2 is probably the weakest. But I feel like that is an unavoidable consequence of its place in the structure, and I don't think that means that it's not useful. In fact, it might very well be the case that there is more stuff in Monster Manual 2 that I would use in an actual game than there is in Fiend Folio. It's just that Fiend Folio is more interesting. So there have been a number of Monster Manual 2 monsters, as I'm sure you've noticed over the last months, where I've said, yeah, this is useful, but it's not inspiring. It doesn't really excite me. And it's certainly true that my tastes run to the gonzoer end in terms of, like, reading about monsters. And I think that that is partly a consequence of the kind of mature game syndrome that I've described, by which I don't mean mature in the sense that it addresses mature themes or concepts, but mature in that it's been going on for a long time. I've read a lot of monster entries, and I'm a little bit jaded in a way. You know, I'm always looking for something that kind of pushes the boundaries a little bit. And Fiend Folio pushes the boundaries much more than Monster Manual 2 does. Monster Manual 1 was the original. It defined the genre. It is the prototype for every monster book that came after it, in terms of its encyclopedic content, in terms of what it chooses to present about monsters. It laid the foundation. From there, Fiend Folio attempted to expand the genre's understanding of what types of monsters were available and what role monsters could play in the game, so it pushed the boundaries. Monster Manual 2, much more than Fiend Folio, feels like an attempt to fill in the gaps rather than expand the boundaries. It is, in many ways, a response to a game that by now is sort of midway through its life cycle. I don't recall the exact year that second edition comes out, but it's certainly by the end of the 80s, right? Or maybe the very early 1990s. So we're in kind of the middle period of first edition. And we're seeing an attempt to address missing things or oversights or to smoothly incorporate content that has come out in subsequent scenarios into the pattern established by the Monster Manual. So by looking at what the creators of Monster Manual 2, you know, tradition demands that we say Gary Gygax, although I don't know how kind of Stan Lee that is, like I don't know to what extent Gygax is kind of the organizer and some of the work is being done by other people. By looking at Monster Manual 2, we can see what Gygax, or TSR, thought was needed in the game as it developed. And I think that we can identify five key things that are found in Monster Manual 2 compared to Monster Manual 1. The first is that there is more tactical complexity. There are many monsters where the design of the monster is clearly intended to create tactically interesting fights, like the Zorbo with its changing armor class, or the Stegocentipede with its different challenges on different areas of the monster's body. There are quite a lot of monsters that are there to complicate the battlefields. Now, that was true before. The Bloodworm Comet Giant is like that in the Fiend Folio. The Shrieker is like that in the Monster Manual. So this is not an original idea, but I do feel that there's a relatively higher number, there's a trend of monsters that are designed encounter first. So this shows, I think, that people are trying to give DMs encounter design tools. But I think that we are moving toward a view in which the tactical complexity of an encounter is based on the behavior of the monsters in it, not how that encounter integrates into broader dungeon landscape. Secondly, a lot more plants. There are a lot of plant and fungal monsters in Monster Manual 2, I'm not sure why. If someone says that's because, you know, they first appeared in this scenario that's set in a deadly jungle, I would 100% believe you. but I'm not aware that that's the case. To me, this has the faint scent of someone going, man, what have we not done a lot of? Plants. Or maybe someone seeing some kind of deadly plant movie, you know, not long before this came out. I really don't know. But there are an awful lot of plants in here. And they have the problem that deadly plant is kind of a core monster concept, the point where, although there are multiple different deadly plants, they don't really read as being all that different from each other. There are more variants on existing monsters. Again, that's not completely new. We saw that in Fiendfolio, which expanded the drow, and which introduced things like the Vodunoi. But there are quite a lot of them here. Some of them are successful. Some of them are like the Grugach or, you know, the, what are the other ones? The Valley Elves. They don't really feel like they add an enormous amount. They're more attempts to kind of tilt the balance back toward, you know, wood elves are supposed to be wild and xenophobic. They haven't worked out like that in play. So here's the Grugach who are going to actually do that. High elves are supposed to be, you know, snobbish and distant. That hasn't worked out in play. So the Valley Elves are going to do that. And then some of them just don't really go anywhere, like the pseudo undead. There's a lot more elaboration on the cosmology. Now, this makes perfect sense. One of the things that Monster Manual 2, I think, reveals is not only the extent to which, obviously, when the first Monster Manual came out, neither Dungeon Master's Guide nor Deities and Demigods were out. But this kind of suggests to me that at the time Monster Manual 1 was being prepared, they hadn't even really been fully conceived. There was not a lot of evidence of the AD&D planar cosmos in Monster Manual 1. Now, maybe that's just a laudable desire not to send readers looking for a book that wouldn't be out for a number of years yet. But I also think that that cosmology was not understood as a fundamental part of the game yet. Whereas by the time we get to 1983, I think it is seen as a distinct feature of the AD&D setting. That, indeed, I think we're approaching the understanding that there is a more or less universal setting, even if you're not playing Greyhawk or whatever. And there's a lot more footnoting, by which I mean a lot more monsters that kind of fill in the allegedly empty spaces or provide additional details about monsters from the earlier books. Examples of those would be things like the zombie comet Juju, which is just kind of a, you know, another addition to the overall zombie toolkit. Maybe the first one. Because the zombie comma yellow musk is not a zombie in the same sense as a zombie zombie is. A zombie comma zombie. If I had to summarize those five differences in one concept, I would say that much more than Fiendfolio, Monster Manual 2 perceives AD&D as a thing in itself, not a system used for a broader world of fantasy gaming. I don't think that's intentional, because I absolutely think that this was intended to be, you know, this thing that opens up worlds of creativity, yada yada, but I think that we're seeing an increasing level of standardization. Fiendfolio is wild, at least partly because no one really has any expectations of what AD&D is supposed to be like. A situation that's exaggerated because it contains monsters that are years earlier than its publication, and so really come from the wild and woolly very early days of Dungeons & Dragons in Great Britain. I feel like we are seeing now a more polished, not yet brand conscious, but within a few years going to be highly brand conscious, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. More of an assumption that campaigns are going to be similar to each other, maybe? That's just kind of the feeling I get off it. I wouldn't like to defend that assessment too rigorously. Now, that makes Monster Manual 2 sound not that compelling, but in fact, there are a number of monsters in here that have gone on to be, you know, quite popular and have played an important role in Dungeons & Dragons. So, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, it wasn't influential. I do think that it unavoidably stands in the shadow of its big brother and then like its weird dropout brother. But that isn't necessarily a fault. And taken on a monster by monster basis, it's got a lot of really good and interesting monsters in it. Several of them, I mean, most recently the Yuan-Ti, but there are lots that have gone on to be important in how people think of Dungeons & Dragons. And indeed, we've seen some of the more unusual ones, some of the stuff from the Devil section, you know, came back in 5th recently with the release of Descent into Avernus, and even things like the Zorbo came out in 5th edition in Tomb of Annihilation. So it has a lasting legacy, you know, even nearly 40 years later. So what's next? I have received a number of really interesting suggestions for what the next season of Monster Man should be, and I'm still thinking about them. What I will say is that, so this episode comes out on the 15th of May 2020, or maybe very late at night on the 14th, depending. And we're going to not start a new book, not start a new season until the beginning of June. So for the next couple weeks, I'm just going to do interlude episodes on different monsters from different sources, maybe some more Dragon Magazine episodes, maybe some smaller monster books. You know, I have some manageable, like, little supplements. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll look at some other games. I feel like I have a range of different things that I've been wanting to talk about that don't necessarily support a whole season, but that could be fun to fit in. And if I get the scheduling right, we might also be able to fit in some My Favorite Monster episodes. And starting in June, we'll begin a new book. I think that for a while at least, we're not going to find another book that we're going to go through start to finish. So, for example, if I decide to do the Monstrous Manual for 2nd Edition or the Creature Catalog for Basic, both of those are going to significantly duplicate material that we've already covered. And so I'm just going to skip that stuff unless I find that there's an interesting difference. Indeed, if we look at Monster's Manual, we'll see that there are some things that have changed quite a lot, but many things have just sort of stayed the same. And the same will be if I go to a bestiary from another game. So for instance, I've had suggestions for games like looking at the bestiary for RuneQuest or 13th Age or Call of Cthulhu or a return to the World of Cinnabar. Those are all appealing, but I don't know that I could go through those books, you know, one by one by one, because some of those concepts we have already covered. So, you know, stay tuned for future updates about what we're going to be doing next, and I hope you'll be joining me for, you know, some quick trips down the side streets of the monster world over the next few weeks as we get ready to move into season 4 of Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.